Today is Friday, July 3rd. What to know the day before an unprecedented 4th of July? We're talking closures and celebrations, testing labs overwhelmed, and why there's controversy at Mount Rushmore. Also, a woman who's been accused of heinous crimes for years has now been arrested. Plus, why smell tests could be the new fever checks, the NFL's new ideas to make amends, and how to watch the Broadway hit Hamilton from home, starting today. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Top federal health officials are pleading for people to celebrate freedom this 4th of July by staying home and avoiding parties and large crowds. They say they're already struggling to keep up with the surge of new COVID-19 cases. The nation's testing czar, for example, says it's not just some hospitals that are getting overwhelmed right now. It's also testing labs reaching or nearing capacity, meaning it'll take longer for people to get their test results back. And the more people who feel sick or may have been exposed to the virus, the more people who will need tests. In some hard-hit states, people have been waiting in line for hours to get tests and waiting several days to get the results. So the federal official overseeing testing efforts specifically called on young adults under 35 years old to take safety precautions like physical distancing and wearing masks. Right now, that's the age group accounting for the majority of new cases. And each new day is bringing another new record-breaking number. Nationwide, the overall case count just yesterday was higher than 55,000, though close to half of those in just one day came from only four states: California, Arizona, Texas, and Florida. So leaders in those hotspots are really cracking down now. The governor in Texas has reversed his thinking from earlier. Now he's requiring almost everyone in the state to wear a mask, with a few exceptions like kids under 10 and people who are exercising, eating, or drinking. Also, remember, beaches up and down California and Florida have also been closed ahead of this 4th of July weekend. Florida's governor assured Vice President Mike Pence during his visit there that the state has the infrastructure to deal with the outbreak. But the governor in Florida also says he will not make businesses close down again like other states have been doing in the past week, including California, where now the governor created a strike team to make sure businesses are following state restrictions. It's worth noting that while some beaches are closed and parades canceled this holiday weekend, other events are still happening. In fact, President Trump will be at one of the largest events tonight. He's traveling to Mount Rushmore in South Dakota. The president will talk to the crowd. There will also be military flyovers and performances by the Air Force Academy Band. Then the main event, fireworks. Tonight's event is controversial for a couple of reasons. One, the public health risk, since there will be a crowd of people gathering. 7,500 tickets have already been issued. People will not be required to wear masks, though they will be available to everyone who wants one. And two, the fireworks themselves. For more than a decade, fireworks have been banned in the area because of concerns about wildfires in the nearby forest. There's also a risk of contaminating drinking water supplies that belong to Native American tribes. But President Trump pushed to bring the fireworks back anyway. NPR reports the National Park Service has called the fire danger risk very high, but has agreed to allow it this year for the celebration. Because of that, expect some protesters to show up alongside the attendees. If you've been following the Jeffrey Epstein case, or maybe you watched the documentary about him on Netflix, then you probably know the name Ghislaine Maxwell. She's the British socialite who was a longtime associate of Epstein, and for years she's been accused of helping lure underage girls for Epstein to sexually abuse. Maxwell had never been charged with a crime, though, until now. The FBI just arrested her. She now faces up to 35 years in prison if convicted. Remember, Epstein was a multimillionaire who was supposed to go to trial on sex trafficking charges, but he killed himself in a federal detention center last summer. So a lawyer who represents some of Epstein's accusers say sending Maxwell to prison would be the closest thing to justice they can get. To be continued. A bipartisan bill to punish China for its crackdown on Hong Kong is now headed to President Trump for his signature. Both the House and Senate passed it, and now Politico reports President Trump is expected to sign it. The bill is meant to place some economic penalties on some Chinese officials who put the new security law in place, as well as the banks and firms they do business with. Remember, this all goes back to the law that went into effect earlier this week. It gives China more power over Hong Kong to police the area and to punish those who oppose the Chinese government. Critics of that law, including the U.S., say it effectively ends the one-country, two-systems framework that Hong Kong has been living under for more than two decades now. But Chinese officials say the international efforts to punish them are, quote, doomed to fail. And China is now promising to retaliate with their own measures against the U.S. The June jobs report had at least a little good news. The U.S. unemployment rate fell to 11%. That's down from a peak of 14.7% in April, and it equals 4.8 million jobs added from May to June. Still, we should note, the data was collected during the second week of June, and since then, many states did begin to backtrack on reopening their economies, so it is possible we see the unemployment rate go back up. That said, U.S. lawmakers are once again talking about trying to pass another relief bill to try and give the economy another boost, but it likely won't be negotiated more until later this month. We have more news still ahead, but first, let's take a quick break to tell you about our sponsor today. If you're feeling like you could use a reset for your hair or maybe just some self-care, then check out Function of Beauty. It's the internet's top-rated customized hair care brand with more than 30,000 five-star customer reviews and counting. What do I mean by customized? Well, you tell Function of Beauty about your hair, like whether it's curly or straight or natural or processed, about your styling preferences, and about your hair goals. So do you want to restore it, get rid of frizz, or add volume? And with that, Function of Beauty formulates a shampoo and conditioner just for you. I'm now using my peach-scented shampoo and conditioner every day and my new hair mask every month. Plus, I love that Function of Beauty never uses sulfates, parabens, phthalates, mineral oils, or other harmful ingredients. To get started, go to functionofbeauty.com/newsworthy to take your four-part hair profile quiz and save 20% on your first order. That's functionofbeauty.com/newsworthy to let them know we sent you or the woman in your life. functionofbeauty.com/newsworthy. Now, back to the news. You know how fever checks have been used to screen for COVID-19? Well, now researchers say there might be a better way. They suggest smell tests. Think of a scratch and sniff test that lets you identify certain scents like banana, pickle, or licorice. Stat News reports there's mounting evidence that far more people lose their sense of smell when they have COVID-19 than have a fever. In many cases, that's been the first symptom to appear and the last one to stick around after people get better. So this kind of test could actually be more effective in identifying people who have the virus and therefore making sure they don't expose others. There are also a bunch of reasons someone might have a fever, while loss of smell is more unique and specific to the new coronavirus. So with that, some places have rolled out smell tests, but it's not a widespread practice, at least not yet. The NFL plans to show solidarity with Black fans, players, and coaches this year. It has a few different ideas in the works. One is to play the Black national anthem before kickoff. If you're not familiar, the anthem is called Lift Every Voice and Sing. The song dates back to the early 1900s, and it's about faith, freedom, and the affirmation of Black Americans. Sources tell ESPN the NFL wants to play the song before the Star-Spangled Banner at every Week 1 game. The NFL is also reportedly thinking about paying tribute to victims of police brutality through helmet decals or patches on jerseys. It may produce some educational PSAs as well. Walmart is turning some of its parking lots into drive-in movie theaters. Starting in August, it'll host family-friendly movie nights at 160 of its lots across the country. The store hopes to host 320 showings by the end of October. Some will even include special appearances by filmmakers and celebrities, and there will be concessions delivered to people in their cars. Walmart has yet to announce where it will host the drive-in movies, so stay tuned. One of the most popular Broadway musicals ever is coming to the small screen today. A movie version of Hamilton drops on Disney+. The musical won 11 Tony Awards and a Pulitzer Prize. It tells the story of Alexander Hamilton's journey to becoming a founding father. And what makes the show extra unique is all the music is inspired by hip-hop. In other words, it's a history lesson with a modern twist. Disney scored the rights to the taping of the Broadway musical with the original cast. It was filmed back in 2016, and Disney had planned to release it in theaters next year. Well, instead, the company has decided to release it earlier on its streaming service. You do have to pay for Disney+ to see this version of Hamilton, though the show's star and creator, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and the rest of the original cast are holding a watch party on Twitter tonight at 7 Eastern. Well, this year, some famous 4th of July celebrations are going virtual. You can watch a variety of fireworks show online or on TV, including Macy's fireworks show in New York City. It'll be on NBC Saturday night. The show will also feature music and tributes to healthcare workers. Also, Washington, D.C.'s celebration called A Capital 4th will air on PBS with performances from stars like Patti LaBelle and The Temptations. Happy 4th of July. And that's it for the main 10 minutes of news today, but now it's time for Feel Good Friday, where we bring you one extra feel-good or positive news story before the weekend. And Feel Good Friday is brought to you by Magic Spoon, the guilt-free cereal that tastes great. Magic Spoon has zero sugar and 12 grams of protein in each serving, with flavors like fruity, frosted, and blueberry. Try the variety pack at magicspoon.com/newsworthy and use the code newsworthy for free shipping. So today we're talking about a record-setting cleanup effort. A whopping 206,000 pounds of plastic, nets, and other trash have been pulled from the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. That is the largest at-sea cleanup that's ever been done. It took a crew at the Ocean Voyages Institute 48 days to clean up the debris. And their work isn't over. They have more expeditions planned. Their goal is to help protect coral reefs as well as ocean wildlife like whales, dolphins, and sea turtles. All right, thank you so much for listening today. If you're new here, welcome. Be sure to subscribe or follow in your podcast app if you want these news roundups every weekday morning. And a very special thanks to the Newsworthy Insiders for all your support. We appreciate you. And we'll be back with another news roundup for you on Monday. Until then, have a great holiday weekend.